And Jesus quenching that thirst, I was thinking about the Gatorade slogan they used to have, obey your thirst. Yes, obey your thirst quencher. But if you're our guest this morning, we're glad you're with us. I know we have some, so thank y'all for being with us today. If you would turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Sometimes life can shake our faith, and it can cause us to doubt God's sovereignty. Whether it's natural disasters, physical pain and suffering, the tragic death of a loved one or friend. Maybe it's existence, just the very existence of evil in the world. Maybe it shakes our faith when we're confronted with the fact that evil does exist in the world. Maybe it's the current state of our country and our world. Maybe it's politics. Maybe it's suffering. Maybe it's war. Maybe it's the coronavirus. Maybe it could be a number of things. But when do we doubt God's sovereignty? In Mark chapter 9, Jesus has just, in verses 1 through 13, he's been transfigured for Peter, James, and John. And Jesus has revealed, he's just revealed to them his eternal divine glory up on that mountaintop. And then they come down as you read through this chapter. I encourage you to go home this afternoon and read it, since there's not much else to watch on TV. Hint, hint. But as they came down from the mountain to the valley, they came down to where the other disciples were. Remember, it was just Peter, James, John, and Jesus up on that mountain. And so they come down to where the other disciples were to rejoin with them. And what they find is the other disciples are in a dispute with the scribes. Now, we've been talking about the scribes and the Pharisees here for a few weeks. But there's a dispute going on, and we'll pick up there in Mark chapter 9, and we're going to begin reading in verse 14, if you would, let's stand. This might be the shortest sermon I've preached in a while, so. But hang with me, because this is very, very relevant, I believe. Mark chapter 9 in verse 14. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and the scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they could cast it out, but they could not." Father, I pray as we look briefly this morning at this passage, you'd speak to our hearts, calm our hearts, and help us to remember that you are sovereign and in control. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Here we see two crises of faith. Number one, we're going to see as we go through this story, we see the son who had a mute spirit. We see a crisis with the son's father, but we also see a crisis of faith in the disciples. In verse 17, we go on and it says, He says, "Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son. He has a mute spirit.'" And he tells Jesus in verse 18, here's what happens. And this has been going on for a long time. "So I brought him here to your disciples and asked them to help him, and they couldn't. They were unable to cast out this demon." And that's what's amazing about this. Nobody there knew how to help the demon-possessed boy. So to go back to our original question, when do we doubt God's sovereignty? Well, one of the times we do that is when we trust in our own wisdom, when we trust in man's wisdom instead of trusting in God's wisdom. The disciples here were trusting in their knowledge and their ability instead of God's. Nobody here, at least it's not recorded, nobody prayed to seek God regarding how to handle this situation. How can we help this person's son? Nobody sought God out from what we can see here. And the result was frustration and doubt. You can just imagine what the situation looked like. They were not that much different than us. The scribes were saying, see, you can't do this, you can't do this. And the disciples are frustrated because, well, why can't we? Why can't we? We've seen Jesus do this. Why can't we do this? Why can't we help this person's son? So in that moment of crises, rather than going to God, they just argued with one another. And nobody knew what to do. You see, when we face uncertain situations like one that we're kind of facing right now with the coronavirus and everything, we can trust God's wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, I quote this one many, many times, but it is very, very important. And that's the reason I do. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be anxious. And that word anxious, as a reminder, it means worried. It says, don't worry. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. But in everything, and there is, in the original language there is a play on words here. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here's what happens when we do that. When we take our crises, when we take our problems to God, and we leave it in His hands, verse 7 tells us, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that good news? So when you're flipping through the TV and you hear all this mess, all this despair, all this war going on over here and all this stuff. You know, I'm amazed. The dollar store could run out of Cadbury Easter eggs and there'd be some newscaster on there. Today, the Dollar General ran out of Cadbury Easter eggs. They make it so dramatic. That's what they're paid to do. But when you see that, don't get caught up in the hype. Go to God. Take your concerns. Take your requests to Him. Let your requests be made known to God, and His peace, a peace that we cannot understand, will guard and keep your heart and your mind, even in times like this. You see, because God has answers and solutions to every situation we face, even this one. God has answers. God has peace. And as we consult His Word, we pray and we listen to His Spirit for guidance. He'll give us those answers. James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. We doubt God's sovereignty when we trust in our own wisdom and in our own abilities. Another reason we see here in verses 19 through 24, we doubt God's sovereignty when we focus on our past failures. And the devil loves to remind us of our past failures, doesn't he? Especially when you're trying to serve the Lord, when you're trying to tell somebody about Jesus, or you're trying to minister in some way, maybe at the meal downstairs, while you, whatever it might be, in all areas of ministry, when you're trying to do God's will, it seems like the devil always gets in there and starts saying, well, you're no good. You can't do this. Who do you think you are? You're not talented enough. You don't speak well enough. You've been a failure all your life. He loves to tell you that. But we know that's not true. But when we do focus, when we allow Him to get us off of the task or the ministry at hand, get our eyes off of Jesus, He tries to get us focused on our past failures. In verse 19 it says, He answered him and said, and this is Jesus speaking, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. And they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help with my unbelief." I get emotional because that verse is real to me. But just because you believe doesn't mean you never have doubts. It doesn't mean you never question things. Sometimes questioning things leads you to the truth. Sometimes God can use that. There have been many, many people today, many Christian authors, many Christian evangelists and pastors and speakers who started with a crisis of faith. They didn't know what to do. But they believed in God. They had trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, some of them. Some of them were atheists, and they had a crisis of faith. They said, "I'm not sure why I believe what I believe. I'm not sure if what I believe is true." And God used that to lead them to the truth. Josh McDowell is one that comes to my mind. He set out to prove there was no God and ended up believing, and has impacted millions, probably, of young people over the years. But we doubt God's sovereignty when we focus on our past failures. Jesus begins here, he rebukes everybody for their lack of faith. Many people had tried to help his son but failed. The father even doubted that Jesus could help. The father, though, he admits his doubts and asks Jesus to help him overcome it. He said, "Lord, I believe, but I do have my doubts." The father, all he could see, this boy had been dealing with this since he was a child. And all the father could see were all the failed attempts to cure this young boy, this young man. You see, when a situation seems hopeless, we can trust God's promises. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." And in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now that doesn't say bad things will never happen to good people. But what it does say is God works all things, whether good or bad, for our good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. But even in the midst of a storm, even in the midst of uncertainty like we're dealing with right now, we can trust God's promises. We can trust his sovereignty, that he is in control. Don't focus on your past failures. Focus on your future victory in Christ. Amen. Verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." That's an interesting answer, isn't it? What did we say earlier? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's exactly what they did not do. They got in that situation. Here come the scribes pointing the fingers. They're frustrated because they can't heal. They're frustrated because the scribes are clamoring all over them. But not one time did they consult God. We doubt God's sovereignty when we walk by sight and not by faith. When we're caught up in what's going on around us instead of what's going on above us and in us. In the midst of the miracle, the crowd still doubted. They didn't think he was healed. In fact, they thought the boy was dead. They thought, boy, Jesus has really messed this up. And in the midst of life's storms, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. You remember in Matthew 14, we won't turn there, but when Jesus was out walking on the water, Peter looks out. Now, Peter sometimes, he got the cart before the ox. And Peter looks out and he says, "Lord, is that you?" And Jesus says, "It is I, be not afraid." And Peter says, "If that's you, permit me to walk out to you on the water." So Jesus says, "Come on." Peter starts out and everything's going good until he takes his eyes off Jesus and he starts seeing what's really going on around him. And then he begins to sink. When we take our eyes off Jesus, when we walk by sight instead of faith, we're going to sink every single time. Peter was distracted. He forgot. Jesus was right there in front of him. And sometimes in our lives we forget Jesus is right here in us. If you know Jesus Christ, He lives within you. He dwells within you. Don't feel like you're alone. Even in this crisis of coronavirus, don't feel like you're alone. Don't feel like God has forsaken us or that He's gone off somewhere else. He hasn't moved. And when we find ourselves in the storms of life, Jesus is right there. And we need to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. In every situation, we need to remember that Jesus is sovereign and He is in control. And in every situation, Jesus is right there with us. As I've said on Wednesday nights, God's got this. He's got it now just like He had it before. He's got this, and we're going to make it. We're going to be good. He's begun a good, if you know Him, He's begun a good work on you, and He's not going to stop until it's time, till He returns or He calls you home. He's going to keep working good in you and hold you in the palm of His hand. I want to close with this passage. Psalm chapter 46, verses 1 through 11. A very, very, very comforting passage. It says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made the desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Amen. Amen. I don't know how the Lord's spoken to you this morning, but if you feel led, you want to come pray at the altar, you come on up. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ. I always extend that invitation, no matter what. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know God loves you. God has a plan for you. That plan began by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins so that you could be forgiven. And you must reach out in faith and receive that gift. It's a free gift that we can't earn. We must reach out and receive it and say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I admit that I'm a sinner, and I want to trust you so that I can be forgiven and cleansed of my sins and live with you forever. If you'd like to know more about that, or you've never received Him and you say, today I'd like to receive Jesus, I invite you to come as well. However He's spoken to you, respond through His Spirit. And don't worry. Don't worry. God's in control. Amen. Father, help us during this time of invitation to respond to your voice, to respond to your Spirit. Help us to trust you, whatever burdens we're dealing with or worries or whatever it may be. Father, help us to lay them down at your feet and say, Father, I trust you. I trust you no matter what. Speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen.